This is On the Other Hand. A podcast that explores politics and other issues of importance to Arkansans through conversations with community leaders. On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas, and Braver Angels is part of a national organization that aims to reduce political polarization by promoting honest but respectful dialogue among people of all political beliefs. We believe our progress as a community and country happens when we actively seek common ground with the other side so that problem solving can occur.
Hello and welcome to On the Other Hand. I'm your host, Glenn White, here with my co-host, April Chatham Carpenter. Get ready for today's conversation as we learn how community leaders in Arkansas are helping work towards solutions. April, who do we have joining us today?
Well, Glenn, I'm very excited about our guest today. It's Dr. Sherry Simon. And Sherry is a very active community leader here in Central Arkansas. Among other things, she has a PhD in clinical psychology, and she's been a mental health professional in the community for many, many years. But one of the things that I think that she does that's a very compelling role is to actually be a leader in an organization within the Catholic faith that pursues peace called Pax Christi. And so we're going to learn today from her about how she works for peace in the Central Arkansas and larger area. So Sherry, welcome to On the Other Hand, and thank you so much for joining our podcast today. We're very excited to have you here. And I'd love to have you tell us a little bit about what you do with your time these days, and then we'll get into more questions about Pax Christi in particular.
Absolutely, April. And thank you so much. And thank you, Glenn, for having me on today and giving me the opportunity to speak about one of my favorite things in life, Pax Christi. So as you said, my name is Sherry Simon, and I am a clinical psychologist. I've been in private practice for the past 35 years here in Little Rock. This past year, I moved from full-time practice to part-time telehealth practice so that I could concentrate on working in the area of my true passion, which is peace and social justice, with an organization that I founded in 2016, Pax Christi Little Rock. I've been on the National Council of Pax Christi USA for the past 2 years and was just recently elected vice chair of that national group. So my work in the past couple of years has shifted from local social justice issues to additionally working on national issues such as nuclear disarmament, climate change issues, immigration, economic and interracial justice, just to name a few.
So it sounds like you were interested in social justice issues before you maybe even got involved with the Pax Christi organization then.
I was. In fact, I often say that the roots of my peace and social justice work lie in the Honduras mission work that I did across a period of 8 years with Christ the King Catholic Church. We would go to Honduras a couple of weeks a year and work in medical missions, construction, and school-based projects in Honduras. So I had so many experiences during those times there that just made my heart move in the direction of social justice.
How do you define social justice? I'm just curious.
What I have found in both our country and globally is that there is not justice in regards to what happens or what different people, types of people in the world experience. So social justice is more about equity. Each different group of people, whether that be racially or gender-wise, provided the same opportunities in different systems. And certainly what I found in my education, as well as my travel experience and mission experience, is that that is not the case, that many government and economic systems, both in the United States and in other countries, are basically broken. And in some cases have never been fixed. They've never been systems that allow for equity to be there for all different people.
That makes sense. Well, thank you for that definition. I think people use that term in different ways, so that's why I wanted to ask you. And I loved hearing about your work in Honduras and how that kind of got you connected with some of the needs here. So you said that you started the local Pax Christi chapter here in 2016. So tell us more about that local chapter and if you want to, what the organization does at the local and the national level.
Certainly. Well, at the local level, Pax Christi Little Rock is a chapter of Pax Christi USA, and it is a Catholic peace and social justice movement. We call it a movement because we don't like to think of it as a solidified institution. We're always learning new things. We're always developing new ways to address issues. And some of the main social justice issues that we deal with, for example, here in Little Rock, there so many things have come up. Our first project that began 6 years ago and has grown tremendously, is that we provide backpacks filled with school supplies at this point for five different elementary schools across the state. The reason that we do these specific projects is because we don't believe that we can attain any type of peace or even nonviolence, I want to call it, in the world, if there are people that are left behind and don't have what they need, either in regards to education or just to live their daily life, if they don't have what it takes to be able to grow and thrive in this environment. So that's been one of the projects that we've adopted. And as I said, that's grown tremendously over these 6 years. We also work with Settled Souls, which is another Catholic organization. They work with Jericho Way to house previously unsheltered people. And about one a week, we work with them and we provide an initial food pantry for folks who've been unsheltered as they are moved into apartments or houses, and they are provided with furnishings to make their living more comfortable. And again, in that way, more equitable, where they have a shot at having a better life. There are so many projects that I could speak about. Those are some of the main ones on our local level. On the national level, oh my goodness, there are so many different areas that we get involved in. Immigration is one of them. We have so many different webinars that we do to try to educate people about what's really going on, at the border, for example. Nuclear disarmament is one of the things right now that Pax Christi USA is really focused on, much because of the war in Ukraine and the threat that is that Putin has put out there now has made nuclear disarmament a much more important issue to deal with these days. So issues like that, climate change is another issue that we deal with on the national level. And again, our push is always to educate folks and to let them know that this striving for peace is not a passive thing. It is very much an active peacemaking that we're about. Education, finding new ways to address age-old problems that aren't just the same black and white answers that apparently we've never seen, that have never seemed to solve the problem before. So it's a very active peacemaking that I'm talking about there.
Now, I talk in my classes sometimes about wicked problems, and you're really kind of dealing with those that are kind of just so intense and complex that they can't just be solved by throwing one solution at them. So, well, I'm sure we're going to talk more about your work there and how you work across the political divide in Pax Christi as well as we get into more of our questions. Glenn, you want to ask the next question?
I have a couple that come to mind, but I'll start with this. Sherry, I believe you are familiar with Braver Angels, because I remember one time early on, I didn't realize how early it was for your group, Pax Christi. Apparently, you're only beating us by a year and being started here in Central Arkansas. But you do know a little bit about what we do in Braver Angels. So I just wonder if you could tell me a little bit about how you learned about us and what your impression is about what we do so far.
Absolutely, Glenn. Yes, as I was doing my research for this interview, I realized I didn't know this before, that Braver Angels and Pax Christi Little Rock were established the same year, I believe, in 2016. But I recall one of the initial things I did when we were developing Pax Christi, I did a lot of research about other organizations in the area that were doing very similar things. And at that time, of course, it was called Better Angels, but that organization was really addressing that political divide that had become so present during the 2016 election cycle. And I was so impressed with that, because what I realized in Pax Christi is that we were also needing to find ways to communicate with folks who didn't entirely agree with our set of values or our different issues that we were working on. And so I really found Braver Angels quite helpful in providing me with some ideas about how I could address these issues with people who didn't entirely agree with my viewpoint.
So you see some similarities between what you do in Pax Christi and what we do in Braver Angels, although I know we have different goals as an organization. Can you tell me a little more about some of those similarities you see?
Sure. Now, it is interesting that those similarities are there, because Pax Christi is not at all a political organization. In fact, we're try to be very careful not to identify ourselves with a political party. But in spite of that, the things that I see that are similar have to do with the ways that we have got to learn to talk with one another if we're going to come up with new creative solutions to these problems that we have. And so we've had to get skills training, communication skills training, and nonviolent skills training in Pax Christi to be able to address, and I hate to call it this, but this is what has been sort of the attack that we've come under in social media particularly, and sometimes at rallies or protests, from folks who disagree with us. So we've had to learn different ways to diffuse these folks, and this is exactly what Braver Angels does, is give folks the words or the ways to use their words that will less likely lead to a more conflicted interaction.
You know, you mentioned the words, choosing your words carefully. That's something we in Braver Angels learned early on, that terminology oftentimes differs significantly on the left and on the right. And so one of the things we think about is, where possible, being mindful of the terminology we use when we're talking across the political aisle. And in that, given that, I'm thinking about what you've been saying. I've heard you use some words that many people would consider kind of liberal buzzwords, you know, pursuit of peace, equity, social justice, and things like that. And so I'm kind of curious about the extent to which and why you think it is that maybe the pursuit of peace is controversial, and how social justice isn't really just a liberal idea or something. Can you speak to those kinds of issues?
Yes. And I have absolutely found peace to be a very controversial issue, Glenn. There's no doubt about it, because people do not always understand the definition that we have of peace. They have an assumption that we're pacifists, that we simply basically just want to, sort of like old hippies, just stand around and sing kumbaya and throw flowers. Yeah. Not at all. We come at this from a very active peacemaking stance. Nonviolence is an active position. And it's our goal to help people realize that we must be creative. In our world today, we are facing so many, what I would call life-threatening issues with climate change, the war in Ukraine, expanded war globally, that if we don't come up with some other alternatives than the ones we've already had, life as we know it's going to come to an end. So we must come to the table, and this involves dialogue and communication with one another, and not turning one another off immediately. You know, once you hear the word peace, or once you hear the word Democrat, you know, the minute we do that, we're in trouble, because neither Democrats or Republicans have had the answer that solved all of our problems. I believe with my whole heart that if we can bring the majority of rational, I'm being very careful how I say this, the majority of rational people to the table, then with all of those pieces, listening to one another respectfully, that we are much more likely to come up with new creative ways to solve these problems. Without that, I'm not sure how these problems are going to be solved.
Yeah. And that idea is an important one to me as well, Sherry. The idea that you need people from different perspectives and different ideological views to be working together, because the notion is that one side isn't 100% correct in everything. And so each side has something important to offer. So that requires people getting together and communicating and being willing to work together where they find common ground. And that's what we're about. And it sounds like you run into the same kinds of issues in the work that you're doing. So I'm curious then what your experience has been so far as working with people who maybe have different views politically, or maybe people you run into in the Catholic Church who have different take on some of the things how does that work for you? And what have you found that's most effective?
Well, it's been very interesting, Glenn, because, you know, we have a presence on social media, for example, mainly on Facebook. And obviously that's attracted some folks who aren't in agreement with the way that we see things. And so I've had often several folks respond to me in a very negative, critical way on social media. But the way I try to look at it is that it gives me practice. It gives me an opportunity to practice a response that is not violent or hateful, so that I can model what I would like to see coming from them. I don't mind hearing their viewpoint, but the minute they start smashing me, it goes non-productive. I mean, there's nothing good that comes out of that. So over time, over these 6 years, I've had a lot of practice in trying to model assertive, healthy, direct communication using I statements, you know, not responding back in what I would call a violent way. Yeah. And to be honest, with a couple of folks over time, and it's taken sometimes some years, it's made a difference. It's made a difference. They don't come at me that way anymore. Not with everyone.
Yeah.
Some people just like to fight.
That's right. That's their preferred mode of interaction, right? Yeah, but I think you're right. I see that a lot, that there are a lot of people on both the left and the right and in middle parts who would like to work together more and are willing to hear things out. But it's gotten harder as we had more polarization. And one of the things that strikes me as really important with polarization is the more people retreat to their side and don't hear the other, it's more of an emotional state that they're coming from. And so what I appreciate that I heard from you was that when people come at you very emotionally, as you describe violent, that you try to not respond in kind, because that is the normal reaction most human beings have. And it takes a lot of discipline and adhering to your values to persist in not getting violent or emotional and start following down the path of just, you know, tribalism and my way or the highway, my country, right or wrong, that kind of thing. So I appreciate, you know, you're working on that emotion, emotionality, I think is really a critical piece. Okay, I think that's enough for now. April, go ahead and we'll go from there.
I was going to say, sure, just to mention that, and Glenn, this is something you'll understand, and I think you too, April. Thank goodness for 35, almost 40 years of being a psychologist too, because yeah, you get lots of practice when you get a couple, for example, doing couples therapy, and you have to pull back on your emotions and not get emotionally into their conflict. So that's made it a lot easier for me to come at this from this perspective.
That's a good point. It happens not just in psychology either. I mean, like I think with April being, you know, head of a department, there's so many places that we just, when you get people together, you know, conflicts can happen and, you know, emotions can rise and things happen. So that's a skill we all need to work better on.
You know, it all depends on the relationship that you have with the person, I think, to begin with. If there's not a, you know, a relationship built, then working harder at getting to know that person as a human being is very, very important. But sometimes we have relationships with communication patterns that continue over time. So even if I can go into a situation and realize I'm going to do better this time, I know the strategies I'm going to use, eye language, I'm going to listen, I'm going to reflect back. If in the past there are triggers that typically set us off with that relationship to go down a particular road, it is very hard to just step back, take breaths, and think about this differently. You know, sometimes if you go into a situation, you realize this is going to be a hard situation. Or I'm imagining if you were, you know, having a counselor in a setting or a psychologist in a setting, and you know the couple's already having issues, that you go in with strategies in your head that you're going to be thinking about. But it's those sudden things that come at us, I think, with the social media post or things that people say that were like, I wasn't ready for that. So that's the knee jerk. Sometimes that happens. As you were talking, Sherry, it reminded me, you were talking about peace being an active stance and nonviolence being an active position. It reminded me of, you know, when we talk about civil dialogue or civil discourse, we oftentimes, people can say, well, you all are just trying to get us to be polite to each other. And it's really not that. It is also being able to have what I've heard people call strong civility, where we are standing up for what we believe in, but we're doing so in a way that values the relationship between us and the other person, that values the other person as a human being, and since you're a faith-based organization, values the person as somebody made in the image of God, you know, that they are actually, regardless of how they're acting or reacting, they are an important person that for us to get to know. So curious as to if you have any thoughts about, you know, how do you do that when they're coming at you with the barbs?
Well, I absolutely agree with you. It's a lot easier when you're already set up to, you know, that you have a couple coming in and you already have your sort of your strategy set for how you're going to handle that. But, you know, when someone's coming and making it personal towards me, on the inside, there have been many times when I've gotten very upset and I've had to step back, and I use the word detachment a lot. I have to detach back from that personal relationship for a moment and remember that we're not going to get anywhere unless I can listen, you know, and it's the way that I listen, I think, that is the most important thing. You can tell if someone's really listening to you, or if they're just sort of being quiet, but they're formulating their defense in their head. So to be able to be present with that person, to listen carefully to them, to reflect back to them what you hear them saying, so that they know you're listening, that you're hearing them. I've actually seen that probably make the biggest difference, because I think then the person feels respected and valued and doesn't feel like you're just discarding them immediately. And then you pray that they'll give you a couple of minutes to say your position on whatever the topic is. But I will tell you, it's been very hard for me at times to take the personal sting out of it and remember those things. And I have to do all my mindfulness work to keep myself calm and keep myself grounded and not take it personally.
Well, we've run out of time for now, but we have more things to talk with Sherry about. So I hope you'll come back and listen to our next podcast when we have the second part of our conversation with Sherry Simon.
Thanks to our listeners for joining us for this edition of On the Other Hand. We hope you've enjoyed the first part of our discussion with Sherry Simon. Be sure to check out the second part of our conversation with her, as well as our other podcast episodes of On the Other Hand, on the Braver Angels Arkansas website at arkansas.braverangels.org/podcast or on your favorite podcast site.
We'd love to hear from our listeners for any feedback about our podcast, including ideas for speakers or topics. Just email us with your comments at otherhandar@gmail.com. That's otherhandar, no spaces, @gmail.com.
On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas. Music was composed by Randall Standridge of Jonesboro, Arkansas, and was performed by the University of Northern Colorado Symphonic Band. Dr. Richard Main, conductor.
From your host, Glenn White.
And April Chatham Carpenter.
Have a good evening, and let's all work to bring our community closer together.